In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and don't go gently, y'all. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs, look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Don't say anything, Hoser. I think Charge jinxed his Timberwolves. I know, hey. He just loves them so much. Look-a-cuckoo, look-a-coo! Oh, look-a-cuckoo, look-a-coo!
Okay.
I mean, it was a week ago you were so sweetly listing all the things that the Wolves had going for them.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm watching the series, I'm like, oh God, why did I let Church do that? Why did I let him utter such blasphemy into the ether? The gods are always listening. Nah, I don't believe in jinxes. Just one of them things, man.
Luca, I wish I had that kind of power, Zabe. I wish I could affect the outcome of my favorite sports teams. Oh, that's. I would do anything to get this series back on track.
That said, you warned me saying I'm ready to be hurt again.
Hurt again.
And yes. Here you are getting hurt again.
And then I am hurt again.
Right. And then for the record, when I texted Charge right before the game last night and I said hashtag Wolves in 7, you responded with an LOL.
LOL. Yes.
In other words, a rejoinder of no faith whatsoever, my friend. You gotta have faith. It's part and parcel. Your team has to be the one that breaks the 154-0 mark in this godforsaken association.
Yes, and by that mark, to be more clear, the record of teams that have gone down 0-3 and come back to win it, 0 for 150. I thought it was 151 or 150.
Thought it was 153 prior to the Celtics-Pacers series.
Yeah, that might be another
one.
So
I added
one
to make it 4. It's never been done before, which, look, it's just hard statistically. Also, there is the self-selection process where teams that fall behind 3-0 generally are the lesser team. Duh. Don't overthink it.
Right.
And then, you know, but I would think that would happen at least once. I mean, it happened once in baseball, famously with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and the rest is history. This could be your moment for history.
Maybe. Probably not, but maybe. I mean, the team has had, my Timberwolves have had a sizable lead. And by that, I mean, I think 5-point lead in the fourth quarter of every loss.
Yeah.
And they've managed to piss it away. Mm-hmm. They've been roughly the equal of Dallas for all the games except when the buzzer goes off. And so, you know, maybe they're going to muddle their way back. They will play Thursday night tonight as people are listening to it, and their home court, maybe they get one here, and then they'll lose in game six, and at least then you've got an acceptable outcome. You know, losing on the road in game six is not that bad, right?
No, it's not that bad. And look, unlike Indiana, which was without Halliburton and had had winnable games multiple occasions, you guys are still fully intact, right?
Yes, yes. We are battered. So we're down. Let's go. We're tired, but who cares?
You're intact, though, is my point. You have all your main guns still on your ship. So I'm with you to do this. That'd be fun to watch. It'll be tough statistically because, you know, four in a row, it's tough.
Very tough. Very tough. Now, also, what I did not realize prior to the series, I'm one of these guys, just where I am at basketball, Zabe, I watch the overwhelming majority of Timberwolves games. I probably like 70 out of 82 I'll watch some or part of. But I don't watch like random other games. I watch my Timberwolves games. So, I saw Dallas three times in the year, you know, because they played three times. I didn't realize what a goddamn crybaby Luka is.
He has literally never committed a foul in his life.
No, and it's like crimes against humanity when anybody touches him, right? Jesus, you freaking baby.
Are you developing a good, healthy hatred for him?
I really am. Yeah. You know, if this didn't happen with the Nuggets, I walked away from the Nuggets series having newfound respect for Jokic. But this is not the case with Luka. He is so freaking annoying, and he's such a goddamn baby.
Yeah, and a trash talker too. I mean, what he did to your boy Rudy Gobert after he crossed him up for the dagger three. That three is going to hurt for a long time in Minnesota sports history.
You know, there's traveling on that play.
Okay, you know what? So great. This is the league that permits that kind of thing.
Like, I know you're they the do
first,
all the
you're
time.
You're the first person I've heard bring up traveling, and I'm like, that is such a Homer reaction. Was it there is. A lot of calls to
I don't
K?
Care.
Was there a lot of calls to K fan going, he traveled on that play?
There have been some because he did travel. Some. He was using his pivot foot was moving, but then it's just us.
You think this fucking league cares about pivot feet? Oh my god, they don't.
God, no, they care more about getting the outcome, the desired outcome. That's what they care about.
Okay, well, so you think they want Dallas more than you, huh? Hello. I'm like, did we lose a connection?
Here's the thing: Dallas is media market like 5. We are media market 13. So maybe maybe that's enough. I don't know.
But they let you get this far. Mm?
Well, against their will, we were up. Against their will, we were up 2-0 on Denver, and then they came to our court and took 3 straight from us because the refs let them.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul is exhibiting all the classic signs of small to medium market NBA denialism.
That's so true.
Ignoring of the rules when convenient, the media market size conspiracy. This is a condition that is well known to researchers. It is curable, but only after the team is eliminated. Then the rehab lasts around 3 to 4 months, and the subject finally accepts and says, I'm ready to be hurt again. And that's when a new season begins.
I'm not ready to be hurt again because I'm ready. I'm hurt right now. I'm down 3. Teams down 3-1. I'm hurting actively right now.
You're not. You know what? You know what they say? If you're hurt, it's good news. It means you're alive. You're alive right now athletically fan-wise, not athletically. But as a fan, you're alive. To hurt means you're alive. Try not feeling anything as your teams do nothing for decade.
That's the worst spot, right?
After decade. Try being a Wizards fan.
I was a Wizards fan. It was called the Timberwolves.
But now you're alive. That was my point. Finally. All right. You know, try being a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, for God's sakes. Try being a Cleveland Browns fan. Somebody tweeted out just a graphic of the last time each team won their division with all the helmets.
Yeah.
The bottom helmet, the saddest helmet going all the way back to 1989 was the Cleveland fucking Browns.
Oh, the Browns. Saddled by the worst deal in the history of sports. The worst trade in the history of sports.
Okay, which was?
Deshaun Watson.
Listen, that's a bad one. I think there are worse that are out there. But Herschel, I know
Walker
bad.
Points and laughs at the Deshaun Watson trade.
And a stupid trade.
It's so bad. And especially if you factor in his contract, making him the highest paid player in the league. So not only did you have to give up all the picks, you had to saddle your cap with the most expensive player in the league. And in those 2 years, he's thrown 7 touchdowns and 7 touchdowns.
Right. But that said, just think about what it means to go 35 years since winning your division last, and you lost the team.
What? No. Has it been 35 years since they won the division?
Yeah, I told you, 1989.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's insane. I did not realize it was that bad.
Well,
incredibly bad.
Let's see here. Last time Browns won, 1989. I knew it was 89. Now, and they also lost their team in that span as well. And they had to wait to get one back. So there's that.
That's why. I mean, okay, that's a big asterisk on this that you can't just overlook. They didn't have football for 15 of those years.
Well, hold on. But wait a minute, though. That counts. It means there's pain and suffering. How long were the Browns out of commission in Cleveland?
Yeah, I'm gonna estimate 15 years, but I don't know for sure. I can find out.
How long were the Browns not in Cleveland? Let's see here. 96 to 98.
96. That's it? It was only 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was it. No, was not even five. Three.
My 15 96, was 97, 98. Off.
Yeah.
I'm literally embarrassed right now that I was that far off.
Well, that's okay. But still, so and this is the NFL where now it's all 4-team divisions. And as Steve Spurrier once famously said, of course we expect to win a division. You only got to beat 3 teams. Narrator, Spurrier did not win the division in his 2 brief years in Washington.
Everything turned out okay for him, though. He's retiring on a lot of money, and he rebooted his college career.
Yeah, he went to South Carolina and was okay there, and that was that. Yeah. And he called it. He left money on the table in Washington, which is funny. He resigned. Well, okay, so he resigned from the golf course. He literally called Snyder from a golf course and said, I think I can't do this anymore. And then his agent had to scramble and say, no, he's not quitting, because he knew that he would have to give back money, and he tried to claw back whatever he could. It was an awkward sort of a deal. We're like, did he just quit? Nobody quits, by the way. He did.
Well, yeah, which is stupid, right? What you want to do
is
make yourself so unlikable that you get fired, and so incompetent that you get fired. Then you get to keep all the remaining years of your deal.
Yeah.
So dumb.
But
he
just was different kind of guy, didn't care. All right, so let's talk about the NFL offseason, because there is a move afoot to change how things are done. The players' union wants this to happen. And apparently a lot of the front office people and coaches are trying to keep it from happening. They want to basically get rid of these voluntary OTAs in April and May, and make it just one long slow ramp up to the official training camp, and that the pre-training camp would begin sometime in late June, and they would eliminate the 6-week gap between the mandatory mini and the start of training camp. Your thoughts?
How much do these mini camps really help?
Matter? Nothing.
Yeah.
They are the biggest bit of voodoo. I've been saying this for years, including all these, the off-season program that the coaches rave about, and football nerds and people in the industrial complex have pushed back on me. Former players, coaches, other media members. Oh, no, it's really important. I go, you're crazy. None of this applies by the time they get all the way around to September. None of it.
Yep.
Well, you got to do some installs of the new offense. I'm like, they do that in August. They do that every week during the season. And guys still don't know what the fuck they're doing. Here's a dumb one for you. So the Jets apparently are letting Robert Saleh now put his fingers into the offense. Problem, as you know, Charge, he doesn't know offense. He's a defensive guy.
Right.
They were 29th in yards per game last year on offense, 30th in points per game. Oh. And it's directly led because their backup sucked and Rodgers got hurt. And now they're going to change it up going, well, you know, we got to let the head coach be more involved. Does he know offense? No, but we should really do that.
Make him more involved. Right.
Yeah. It's so dumb. I know this. My colleague, Brian Butch, said about this potential change. He's like, God help me if our program director says, you know, now with the new offseason calendar, we should really have a presence up in Green Bay for the start of the pre-training camp period.
Pre-training camp, yes.
We're gonna get a house for you guys to stay at. You can come and practice. He's like, the fuck I'm doing that. I got basketball camps to run.
Oh, God.
So,
let's hope it doesn't go that way. Those things mean nothing. Remember the pandemic year? We had partial training camps. We had none of the offseason workouts. And week one felt exactly the same as week one of every other year.
Thank you. Ding, ding, ding. Exactly right. It doesn't matter. The overinflation and the over self-importance of this league should never be underestimated. They want to think this is like putting a rocket on the moon. Oh, by the way.
No, rocket not, or lander on the moon. Minicamps certainly are. But what they do love is the fact that people talk about it, and there's media coverage, and the local news has got it. And I'm looking at J.J. McCarthy throwing swing passes, and everybody's like, oh, look at J.J.'s footwork. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at J.J. McCarthy. And they love that stuff, Sabe, and the NFL loves their news cycle.
No, it's great for the news. It's great for media avail. This is, and I think that the personnel people and the coaches in the NFL, they don't want this to change because they're looking at it like, well, I'm a salaried employee, so I'm here working all year long, and the players get paid per paycheck. The last thing I want is for the owner to go, you know, maybe I should pay all my guys on a per game basis. And if the players don't need to be here in April and May, why does everyone else?
Right.
Because I guarantee you there is a day and age in this league, Charge, in which it wasn't a year-round effort. It just wasn't.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It didn't used to be. But then I think to justify the salaries, and then there's also this thing in the NFL, Zane, about all the hours, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
It's some He-Man competition. You know, oh, yeah, you know, slept under my desk for 4 hours. That old thing.
Right.
You know, that's like that. You know, people treat that like that means that you're better at anything, which is absurd.
Yeah. Work smarter, don't work harder.
Harder, right. The hours are stupid. And has anybody ever correlated sleeping under your desk to championships?
No, it's just a good anecdote. It's like I've got more grit as a coach than you do. I want it more than you do. Nowadays, it's just who's got the better quarterback, plain and simple. All right.
Well, yeah, I mean, largely, yes. I don't think it's changed since ye olden days in a lot of ways about that, but yeah.
All right. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. That said, have you seen the leaks coming out about the new NCAA football game, EA Sports, which has been dormant now due to lawsuits over name, image, likeness for how long?
10 years.
Okay.
but I'm the guy who said 15 years for the Browns. So apparently I can't be trusted on matters of time.
People playing the game I've seen online have said it's spectacular. On a scale of 1 to fully geeked, what are you for the new release in July of the return of NCAA football for EA Sports?
Well, okay, as somebody that hasn't bought Madden in several years because it feels like a money grab in which they do not materially change the game year to year.
Wow.
They feels like they just do roster updates and they collect their $60. So I've refused to participate for probably 3 years now. So this, though, what I always loved about the NCAA football series is how different it felt and how uniquely college it felt. And I want to believe, and from what I've seen of it, and they haven't given us a lot to go on yet, it looks like they've got a lot of that old stuff in. I love the Rousers. I love the marching bands. I love
the Rousers.
Yes.
What's a Rouser?
The songs, the team songs.
Right. Although, you know what they don't have in there? Jump Around for Wisconsin. You know what else they don't have for Virginia Tech?
They dot the I.
Okay, but you know what they don't have for Virginia Tech? Enter Sandman. You know why?
Licensing, it's a copyrighted song.
Well, licensing Metallica songs is extremely expensive, they say.
That's right.
Metallica's no dummies. Yes. They're like, yeah, sure, you can put it in the game. Here's what it's going to cost. Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do some other generic rock song. It'll be good enough.
That's right. By the way, can I complain to you about something that you know all too well along these lines?
By the way, the Ticketmaster lawsuit is on.
I know.
And so I know you've got high hopes for it, but I'm here to tell you, keep your expectations low. This is the government you're talking about.
I know.
Go ahead.
Your station in Milwaukee, my station in the Twin Cities are both iHeart stations.
Yes.
We have now been forbidden from playing songs on the air because our show is then podcasted later and we don't pay to the rights to podcast.
We pay
versions of the songs.
Right.
We pay for the over the air rights.
Right.
So we can no longer play any music you've ever heard of before. All we can play are bumper music. If you're doing bangers of the day, whatever, we can't play any normal recorded songs that anybody has any royalty rights to. So we're doing all generic songs and I hate it.
Zane. Oh my
God. I hate
it. Now, what's interesting is that I heard about this kerfuffle and I guess our station just said, yeah, nah,
really?
Let them come sue us because we haven't changed our operations one bit.
Oh, now, could be heading your way.
Well, that's going to kind of decimate our banger rejoin segment.
Yes, like, it is.
Entirely decimated. Yes. Not to mention any number of thematic segments that use popular music.
Correct. Yeah, which we do all the time. I mean, I'm on every Friday. My co-host Paul Allen loves music. I love music. We talk music all the time, and we play songs all the time. Can't do any of that anymore. My game show that I do on the radio is called Turbo Tracks. It is a music game show. Can't do that anymore. It sucks, Zabe, and I hope you don't get pulled into it. But here's if you do, I think you should switch your banger of the day. I think Josh should have to sing it.
Or how about just
sing the banger?
How about just read the lyrics?
Yeah. Deadpan read it.
Deadpan read the lyrics.
Deadpan, yes.
People love when I deadpan read lyrics to rap songs. They absolutely lose their mind. Middle-aged white guy just deadpan rap lyric reading.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I would love to hear that.
Yeah.
Yes. So that might be, hopefully that's not coming to you, but we are in the grinder on that in the Twin Cities.
Yeah. Well, everyone's angling for money. This also is crossing the news wires today. Over 2.4 million football fans who subscribe to the Sunday Ticket could be eligible to receive over $6 billion in collective damages.
Ooh.
Or upwards of $2,500 each, part of an antitrust case brought against the NFL and DirecTV back in 2015. Now,
that would be me for every one of those years.
Oh, absolutely right. Now, are they going to make you submit receipts to prove that you paid for it? Are they going to then go back and look at all the years in which you successfully stayed on hold for an hour and a half, browbeating every level of customer service on DirecTV, going, no, man, I'm canceling, cancel, cancel, cancel. Okay, sir, DirecTV Sunday Ticket free. Okay, you happy now? Okay, I'm happy. Goodbye. Like, are you going to do that?
Yeah, I never got the free Sunday ticket.
You never got it for free. You never bitched and moaned and went all the way up the chain to get it for free.
Here's the thing. I think, you know, because they know your viewing habits, I think they knew how much football I watched, and it was a hollow threat. And so they never was able to work that particular angle. My dad, on the other hand, who only ever watches the Vikings, that's all.
Yeah.
You know, he was able to get that deal every year because they could look at his viewing habits and go, yeah, football's not that important to that guy. You know, we can just give him the Sunday ticket. They knew they had.
That's so funny. They knew. They're like, yeah, just give it to him. He's not going to watch it. Who cares?
Right.
He'll think he's getting a value. The lawsuit alleges that because the NFL bundled all the teams and made you buy everybody, that it violated antitrust law, that each team should have been allowed to individually sell their rights to their out-of-market games to reduce the cost to fans.
I love it. Agreed.
But will it receive a legal viewing by a judge and a jury that is favorable to us common fans? Not so sure about that.
Not sure. And the other thing, I don't know if you've ever been a part of these class action deals. I was in one with Sony when Sony had their data breach. And, you know, I had to, like, opt into it by, you know, doing some return mail thing. And then, like, 4 years later, I got a check for $16.82. Yeah, so it's like, you know, the lawyers all made billions or millions, right?
Yeah, right.
And the original plaintiff probably made a ton of money. But me, as the guy who got damaged, you know, I got nickels and quarters.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Stetson Bennett is back for the Rams. And the newsworthy item here is, oh, shit, he's been gone? I knew he was, like, you know, hanging on as was he a late round draft pick?
Yeah, he was a late round draft pick.
Late round draft pick, and I knew he had some drinking problems, as evidenced by his arrest record at Georgia. I didn't know he left for a year. He came back and he's like, yeah. They're like, so what's up? And he's like, none of your business. Basically.
Okay, so he has not acknowledged. All we know is he left for personal reasons.
Right, and mental health related, which, again, is fine. We're all supportive of that, obviously, but it's just kind of funny. Like, okay, I'm back. Wait, what? Oh, how you been? None of your business.
Yeah, he doesn't owe us an explanation. It's his own, HIPAA. It's HIPAA. You know, we don't get to know, but I'm curious about what it was, and I think it'd be kind of cool if he just came out and said, okay, yeah, I had a problem, I've addressed it, blah, 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 but he doesn't have to do that. And it turns out the odds of him being a meaningful pro, even though he led Georgia to a national championship, is very low based on his overall ability.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and you're going to see a concert tonight. I want some deets on this.
All right, so this is one of those shows that you go to because your friends are going, more so than it's not. You got like your inner circle bands that you like, LCD Sound System, which I talked about last week, inner circle band.
By the way,
I didn't want to miss it for anything.
By the way, what happened? Did you go to the game or did you watch the game at home? Or did you go to the concert?
Yeah, right.
Not getting up.
So okay, I decided to go to the concert. I watched the whole thing on my phone until they started. I powered off my phone. I'm like, I'm going to go into dark mode. I'm not going to know what happened. And then when I get home, I'll turn my phone on and I'll pick up the DirecTV feed or the YouTube feed and YouTube TV and I'll pick it up from there. So here's what happens. Band comes on stage. And the first thing they say is, we didn't know if anybody's going to show up. We had so many people talking about going to the Timberwolves game instead of the concert. We weren't sure you guys were going to show up. And it turned out they sold out and there were a ton of people there. So we're delighted you're here. Then they gave score updates between every other song.
No!
I'm getting score updates and I'm not watching it. So I found out how it turned out from them as they're giving me scoring updates between songs.
Were you mad about that?
A little.
Yeah.
Although they ended up losing and I didn't want to go home and watch it anyway. The concert was 10 out of 10. It was awesome.
Okay. I remember the golden days of doing the old VCR or DVR time shift move circa 1996, 7, 8, 9, 2000, that range, where if you went to a wedding, you said, okay, I don't want to miss this game or whatever. I'm going to tape it. I'll watch it when I get back. And you could be reasonably assured that there would be no television in the wedding area that would give away the score. And, of course, nobody would have phones that could give them updates because phones didn't have scores on them until ESPN made the ESPN phone, maybe.
I forgot about this.
Right. But now what you tried to do is nigh impossible. And LCD Sound System fucked you out of it because they gave you scores.
And the other problem I had is while I was in the moment with this band and they are having an amazing set and I'm absolutely loving it, people around me kept checking their phones. And so I had to like go out of my way trying to not look at other people's phones when they would get their phone out and they're one person ahead of me and their phone's right there. And so I'm like, oh, I can't look.
Yeah.
And people are constantly in and out with the phone. They're recording the songs. They're taking pictures or checking on the Timberwolves game. And, God, you know, you and I have talked about concert etiquette before. Man, does it bug me that people will hold up their phone above their head, blocking my sight line, and record entire 8-minute long songs. I'm like, you know, I can understand you want to catch a snippet of it because you want to have a memory of it.
Right.
But what are you really accomplishing?
Well, and in addition, the sound quality is going to be terrible.
Exactly.
So what is the point? And they're probably doing it vertically. That would be what offends
That's
me
the
more
killer,
than
right?
anything.
Absolutely.
The fucking vertical. Yeah. Well, maybe you should just bump their arms and make them drop the phone or just tap them on the shoulder saying, I'm sorry, but could you please put that down? I can't see the band.
Yeah, not in Minnesota. We don't do that here.
Or I know, too nice. Or do like Miranda Lambert did at a concert where she scolded the young girl who was taking a video selfie during the middle of her song. You saw that, right?
No.
You did not?
No.
She basically stopped her set in the middle of a song and called out the woman going, you know, I'm right here. It's very rude. Your back is turned to me. I'm performing. Didn't you come here to see me in the band?
Wow. I'm kind of on her side.
I can understand how annoying it would be because we're living in a me culture right now, in case you didn't know, which should be abundantly obvious. So anyhow, Charge is going to see this band right here, Echo and the Bunnymen. This is Lips Like Sugar. And I've heard of Echo and the Bunnymen. I just didn't know any of their songs.
It turned out you do know their songs. You just didn't know they were theirs.
I don't know this song.
You don't know Lips Like Sugar. Wow.
Lips Like Sugar.
lips like sugar. All right, so give me a quick down and dirty as we bounce out to this, close out the podcast with Lips Like Sugar. Echo and the Bunnymen are?
They were premier alternative bands in the 80s, like elite level. This is like the Smiths, New Order, Echo and the Bunnymen, Jesus the Mary Chain, gigantic bands that crossed over the Atlantic with a sound that wasn't in America yet and were absolutely giant. They were playing arenas in the 80s and in the early 90s and then went on hiatus for a long time, and now they're back gravy training to get some cash.
I'm here for it. Right. Were they up there like The Cure?
Yes, they were at that level. They were at The Cure level. Yes.
I think I have heard this song. And now they're just playing what they can play, because it's still better to be the faded remnants of an 80s super band playing smaller arenas for a lot less money than it is to sit around at home going, fuck, I used to be a rock star.
Right. This is cash right here. They're playing legendary First Avenue in the Twin Cities. The venue seats about, 1,500.
Wow.
They'll make $30,000 tonight, $50,000 a night, something like that.
Yeah, better than nothing. Better than nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. There's your banger of the day for tomorrow. I don't know who does your bangers of the day. Here's a banger that you can use tomorrow.
An alt banger, Lips Like Sugar. It's a little bit too soft. I think I'd get killed for it, but anyway. All right, Church, when they play this song, hold your phone up real high and videotape the whole damn thing and make no apologies, all right?
Gil, talk to you later, my friend.
See ya. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.